Thanks for being in church today. Amen. Amen. We're so glad you're here. Hey, we've been doing our formed challenge. Four. Because one time a week of reading the Word of God, two times, three times. But two independent studies show that when you read the Scripture, read the Bible, four times a week or more, your life starts to change immensely. You start to experience the presence of God, the peace of God. Things start to change in your life. So we've been challenging you guys to get in the Word of God. Get your Bible, get it on your phone, get a paper version, like open it up, get in and read the Bible. So we want to kind of finish up on this spiritual practice today on being formed by the Word of God, and just go through a few more scriptures on the Word of God. And so for the first part of this, I just want to encourage you to read the Word of God by what the Word of God says about the Word of God. Does that make sense? It's self-promoting, but it's truth for us. We learned that a couple times ago, that it's truth. It helps us to know what's real. And so let's get into some scriptures. John 6:63 says this: "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all." And this is Jesus speaking. He's saying, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." I actually brought a Bible out here so I can hold it up this morning. These words are not just words on a page. They're not just commandments. They're not just suggestions. They're not just stories. They're not just neat teachings of a guy from 2,000 years ago. This is the Word of God. And Jesus said about his words that they are spirit and that they are life. These words look like ink and wood, because it's made from trees, right? Paper, right? Looks like paper and ink, but it's according to Jesus. Should we trust me or should we trust Jesus? Jesus. Jesus says, hopefully we trust me because I'm saying the words of Jesus here, but you know what I mean. "The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and they are life." So these words are not just words. They're the words of God. It's the Word of God. It's spirit. It's God-breathed. Yeah, we did that one last time. Yep. It's spirit and it's life. So many of us, and I want to give you a little nugget to walk away with this morning. So many of us are looking for life in the flesh. You're looking for something to satisfy. Has anyone ever been unsatisfied with your life? Just restless or just we are looking to the flesh, looking to the ways of the world. We're looking and we think that that's going to produce life in us. And I'm not saying that there's not changes that are helpful, you know, maybe a new job or a new, you know, just a new vision or whatever. Like that I get, that's good. That's great stuff. But we're looking for those to produce something in us that they're not meant to produce. And Jesus is saying it's the Spirit who gives life. So the Spirit is Holy Spirit, but that Spirit is also the Word of God. I don't know how that works. Jesus says, "The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and they are life." So if you want to be energized, if you want to come alive, get in the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God is going to produce the life that you're looking for. Are you with me? You are looking for energizing life. You're looking for pneuma. That's the Greek word for spirit. You're looking for ruach. It's the Hebrew word for spirit. You're looking for that breath of God inside of you. You're feeling dead inside sometimes. And the world is longing for that. And what they really want, they just don't know it. What they really want is Jesus. And they want the life. It says the flesh is no help at all. The flesh is no help. You don't have to raise your hand. But so often, right, we go through so many things that we think are going to bring us satisfaction. We think, oh, when I achieve this, when I get this, when I do that, when I go there, then life is going to really get better. And it's going to be amazing. And so many times it's not. It's so unfulfilling because the flesh is no help at all. Now, we live life in the flesh, but it's talking about the flesh, like the kind of the systems of the flesh, the systems of the world. But he says, these words that I've spoken to you, they're spirit and they're life. So when you get in the Word of God, you're encountering spirit and life. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. How about this one? Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is what? Alive and active, or living and active, or living and powerful, or alive and effective. All the different versions say something like that. But it's alive and it's active. The word of, so we're talking about the Word of God. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Some of us don't like to read the Word of God because the Word of God reads us. There's actually an old quote, read the word until it reads you. And we don't like that sometimes. Sometimes you guys stink, and we just like to stay in our stink, don't we? Everyone's like, don't you tell me that I stink. We do, because we're human. And the Word of God, it's like this sword that comes along. Anyone ever carved meat before? Anyone ever butchered a deer or carved a steak or done anything? Not too many, a few of you. And trying to get in there, get the good stuff off and leave the bad stuff out. That's what the Word of God does. It comes in like a knife, soul and spirit, right? Sometimes our soul, that's where our emotions live, our mind. Has anyone ever had wrong thinking before? Okay, a few of you, yeah. Anyone ever had emotions that have led you astray before? You ever just have one of those days you're just like, oh, I cannot get it under control in here. Nobody good. All right, that's good. That's good. But the Word of God, it comes in where as have you ever felt like, I'm trying to see how to explain this. Has there ever been a little part of you that's like, oh, I need to do the right thing. I need to do what God wants me to do. And then your emotions are all over the place. And then you got these thoughts that are running wild. Just got a text yesterday from someone who just found out all kinds of information about their past that they didn't know, and people had done them wrong. And it just, and so they struggled. And they said, Kirk, I don't want to feel that way. I want to forgive. So their spirit is going, I want to be forgiving. Their emotions are going, ah! Their mind is going, ooh, I hate that person, right? So we get jumbled up sometimes. And our spirit is always wanting to do what God wants to do. And so it gets all meshed up in there. And the Word of God comes in and it cuts those two apart. And it helps us to get our emotions in check, get our mind with right thinking, and let our spirit get strong enough to take that step of faith and go, all right, I'm going to make a choice to forgive or whatever. And so fill in the blank with whatever you're going through in real life every week. And that's what the Word of God does. The Word of God reads us and says, I don't know if that attitude is quite right. I don't know if you should be thinking that way. I don't know if those emotions should be acted on. The Word of God reads you. Amen? And we're so thankful for that. How thankful are you? Well, in the moment, you're not. But how thankful are you that there's something that can read you with truth? That's why we need to be in the Word. That's why the Word of God changes us. Right? Because it challenges us. Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11 says this. How can a young person stay pure? How can an old person stay pure, right? By obeying your word. David says, I've tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And you know what a lot of us hide in our hearts? We hide in our hearts the wrongs that people have done to us. We hide in our hearts the things that I think would make me happy. We hide in our hearts the I deserve better than this attitudes, right? We hide all these things in our heart. You know what we don't hide in our heart? The Word of God. And how many of you think, how many just agree with me because it's the right answer. How many of you think our lives would be drastically better if we would hide the Word of God in our hearts and not all the other garbage that we let get from our mind into it? Anyone ever had a thought start in your head and then it fell down and it landed down here and it got stuck in there and then you can't get rid of it because it's now become a part of you? The Word of God comes in and it just shines a light on that stuff and it exposes all that stuff. And I promise that 100% of you, look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. 100% of you got stuff in your heart that the Word of God needs to cut out of there because you're human, and we all do. That's one of the things I love about this place. We're just honest here. Like, we're just like we're not, like, you're made in God's image. You're called to so much more, but we're always calling you up higher. Like, we're saying probably more than you think, you're a rascal and you need the Word of God to turn the flashlight on and get that in your heart and get the garbage out. Why? Because we don't want to see you suffering. We don't want to see you struggling. We don't want to see you less than what God's called you for. So we say the hard things. Knock it off. Quit having that bad attitude. Stop it. Forgive them. Why? Well, I deserve. No, you don't. Right? We say those hard things because we know you're called to so much more. And we know what freedom is on the other side of bondage, right? And so that Word of God comes into our hearts and it keeps us pure. Because we've all got garbage that needs to get ejected. We've all got thoughts that aren't the right thoughts. We've all got things that we think about life that are a little twisted. And God wants to come and give us a new focus, a new lens, a new way of seeing the world through His Word. Through His Word. So hide the Word in your heart. We're just chucking fast through these. But it's so imperative that we get the Word of God deep down inside of us. Not just in our heads. Amen? Because we can all know a verse. For God so loved the world. Right? Right? That's great. It's great to know in your head. But how many of you, when you're feeling unloved, when you're feeling alone, when you feel like no one cares and no one notices, get that Word in your heart and you go, you know what? Here's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling alone. I'm feeling unloved. I'm feeling rejected. I'm feeling hopeless. But God, you so loved the world that you sent Jesus for me. That... Right? It's in my heart now. You get the difference? I don't just know it in my head. You let it get sunk down into your heart, and all of a sudden that starts to change you. What's next? Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. So often we can get confused on what's next. What direction should I be taking? Which way is forward? Right? Which way? Anyone? It's been foggy the last week or so. Anyone ever get lost in the fog before? That is scary. I drove bus for about 13 years. And when you drive bus route, you drive the same route every day. You know every sign. You know every blade of grass. You know where every dead pheasant is. Like, you just know. You're just twice a day, right, Josh? Like, you're just, all right, I know, okay, and up around this curve. Yeah, I got to be careful with that one because it slides this way. Like, you know all that stuff. Until fog comes. It's like you've never been on that route in your whole life. You've driven the same thing for 10 years, and now fog comes, and you can only see this little bit ahead of you, and you're like, oh, what sign is that? I've never seen that before. Oh, where is this? I must have drove past, and you found out you've only went like 20 feet, and it feels like you've been driving all day, right? Well, sometimes life can get like that, and you just need a reference point. I need to know where I'm at. The Word of God is that. It's a light for my path so that I can see where I'm going. I know I'm kind of shooting the fire hose at you today, but just one after another, the Bible's inspiration on why you should read the Bible. Like, the Bible is saying, like, you need this, right? If the Bible is truth, and it's saying that we need it because of all these reasons, we should agree with that. We should go, okay, you're right. You're right, Bible. You're right, God. How about this one? Same thing again, Psalm 119, 130. The unfolding of your words gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. It starts to transform us in the way how we see the world. We're not simple any longer in the form of being like a fool, being unrecognizing how God works or whatever. And so His Word gives us light and it gives me understanding because here's this. It's not meant, the Bible's not meant just to inform us, but it's meant to transform us. It's meant to transform us. Joni, you know what I was thinking when you were sharing that? Because I've read that from a number of people. You know, the first thing I do when I get up is I look at my phone. We're not going to raise our hands for that because we need a support group, right? So the first thing you want to do, because why? Because you got these big flashing notifications that you're missing out on something. You know what I was thinking, Joni? I'm like, how cool. Like, it's never going to happen. But how cool if we could have, what if every time the Lord was trying to speak to us, we got a notification on our phone? I bet all of a sudden, as a whole, the church would be a lot more spiritual. right? Because we're driven by our soul. We're driven, but we want that dopamine hit, right? What does someone have to say to me? Tell me that I'm awesome. Right? Okay, where is that? Okay. Right? And we all do that. Not Dick. He doesn't have a smartphone, so he doesn't get notifications. Dick hears the Lord all the time. And Stephen. No, he does now. Now Stephen has a smartphone, but he doesn't have social media. But the rest of us, we're like craving that dopamine hit. What if, like Joni and so many other people, what if we just shelved that thing? And I was just thinking how cool it would be if we got God notifications. But they're there. We just don't come on our phone. So we need to get tuned into them. And they're right there. Well, not there. All the other slides, they're in the Word of God. They're in the Word of God. All the notifications that you need, they're in the Word of God. So turn on the Word of God, not your phone, and check that and see what notifications you have waiting for you. We'll leave it at that. Does that sound good? All right. Romans 15:4 says this: everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance, everyone say endurance, taught in the scriptures and the encouragement, everyone say encouragement, through the encouragement that they provide, we might have hope. How many could use some more hope? If you are lacking in hope, hope is found. Right, I've seen if anyone was going to connect that. Right? So the scriptures, the Word of God, let me get my prop out here. The Word of God, right? It gives us endurance. And what do you need when you're feeling hopeless? You need endurance to go on another step, right? Don't you? Right? And then you need, what else do you need? Oh, you need encouragement. And it says, where do I get encouragement from? It says this, the scriptures. You get encouragement from the scriptures. And once I have endurance, I can take another step. And encouragement, it'll be all right, right? Endurance, I can take another step. Encouragement, it'll be all right. For this side. Endurance, I can take another step. Encouragement, it'll be all right. That gives me hope. So if you're lacking in hope, what should you do? Thank you, Loretta, for being brave to say what everybody else should be saying. What should you do if you're lacking in hope?
Read the Bible.
Get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. There's encouragement and endurance that produces hope. Can we just believe that that's truth? Just everyone just set your religious self down for a second. Shake it off. Let me just talk to you as a person, not a pastor. Can we just believe that the Word of God is true? And if it says that's how to get hope, can we just believe that? So if we're lacking in hope, get in the Word of God. Get formed, right? At least 4 times a week. Exactly. Exactly. Last verse here for this section. Heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus said, my words will never pass away. My words will never pass away. Hey, I want to have you welcome a friend of mine to come on up here. Alan, why don't you come here for a second? This is my friend Alan. Everyone say hi, Alan. Yes, he's an amazing guy, and Alan's been a youth leader, Dwight would say since Moby Dick's been a minnow, yep.
A few years,
yep, and Alan and I, when he wasn't going to our church, he was a youth leader at a different church, and our youth groups did stuff together back in 2001 or 2 or 3, somewhere in there, and we kind of started doing things together, and we've known each other for years, and for the most part, ever since I've known you, you're like a very mature and well-developed Christian man.
Thank you.
I don't know why they all laughed at that, but that's really true. And so I was just wondering, like, were you just born that way? Has it always been that way?
So Kirk actually asked me to talk about...
You have to hold the mic up a little closer. Yeah.
So yeah, as a kid, my grandma gave me my first Bible, little tiny Bible. King James. How many people love the King James? I know a few do, and that's good. I don't. It's not just the language we speak in nowadays. But then as I grew up into a teenager, somebody gave me a Youth Study Bible, NIV version, which is absolutely great. It, as a youth study Bible, it just has sections where it talks about certain things particular to youth. And I used that for many years. As I grew older, probably in my 20s, this will date me, Watertown had a Christian bookstore down on camp. And I went in there to look for Bibles because I wanted my own Bible, study Bible. And you walk in and there's 30, 40 different Bibles to choose from. And that's almost impossible when you're a teenager looking, don't know for sure what you're even looking for. So if you're going to go look for a study Bible, ask someone who's been in the Word. They will help you. I love the study Bible. You can look at the footnotes of the study Bible. If you find a word you don't know what it's talking about, or don't know what it means, you can look at the footnotes, find out where else that's talked about in the Word, and go to those and read.
So let's just pause for a second. So maybe you're here and you're like, we keep saying study Bible, and you're just talking about a Bible, right? So we don't have pew Bibles here, but the Bible was written at least 2,000 years ago, the Old Testament longer than that. That's the Word of God. That's the inspired Word of God. So in America here, we have something that we call a study Bible, and that's a specific version of the Bible. It doesn't change the Bible at all. So you've got the entire Bible, but then on every page or every other page, depending on the kind of Bible that you have, there's footnotes in there. And those notes are written by pastors or by theologians or by professors, depending on which study Bible you get. So the top part or the side part, however it's laid out, is the Bible. And it's the exact same Bible as you would have with any other just Bible. But then they add study notes to it. And so it might tell you, I'll actually show you a picture of it in just a second. So when we're talking about a study Bible, that's what we're talking about. So I'll show you a couple slides in just a second. But you would say that, like, how pivotal was a study Bible for your growth in the Lord?
So a study Bible just takes that, the information that you're hungry for, and it multiplies it.
Yeah, right.
Because then you can look and, oh, I understand that now because it puts this passage with this passage or areas.
Right.
So it's tremendous in growth, if you want spiritual growth.
Right. Because I think you and I were talking a little bit earlier, and I think so many people, they've just grown up in church, and I just go to church. That's what I do. I go to church. Like, how's your spiritual walk with Jesus? Uh-huh. What? Huh? Like, are you growing in the Lord? Huh? or you're like, oh, Jesus helps me, and I'm good. You know, kind of like I pray to God when I really need him to help me with something kind of thing, which we would call like very, like, kind of like baby Christian. Instead of like, how do you get from that to going from, and so Alan and I were just having this conversation, to growing in the Lord where I start like understanding things about God. I can tell other people about prayer and about, you know, walking with the Lord and about going through tough times. And I kind of know where things are at in the Bible and whatever. And Alan was just saying that the study Bible has helped you to go forward in that walk with God, and that some people don't even understand what it means to grow in the Lord. And that's what our Formed series is kind of trying to talk about. How do we grow in the Lord?
The other thing I can say is you can fact check people. If they tell you something, use your Bible to fact check.
Right, right.
That became a popular word here a few years ago.
Yes, that's our truth.
Yep, I love it. I use it with the youth group. Go ahead and fact check what people are saying.
Right, that's awesome. Well, I know Alan loves to be up front, but sorry, buddy, your time's over. Thank you, Alan. So this was a conversation that started years ago, actually, and he just had talked about how instrumental. So my mom and dad bought me. So I kind of grew up in youth group. My folks had gotten saved. I walked away from the Lord when I was a young adult and then came back to the Lord. And so I was, you know, 21 or whatever I was, and they got me a study Bible. And I devoured that thing, and it was so instrumental. And so we want to study the Word. So this second half of this message, I just want to give you some really, really practical. Everyone say practical. All right? I'm just going to be super, super practical for you to tell you exactly what to do should you want to do that. So these are a couple study Bibles that I love. The one on the left is the study Bible that my mom and dad bought me, which I still have. I have it in digital form, and I have the paper version. And so you can get them in the New Living Translation versions and the NIV versions. And so it gives you footnotes or whatever. And then the one that I just bought a little while ago is called the NIV Study Bible. So the life application is exactly what it says. How do I apply this to my life? I would say, hands down, if you're a new believer or you're just kind of like, I've never really intentionally decided to grow in the Lord, how do I take this Bible and apply it to my life? The one on the left, the Life Application Study Bible. Write that down. Go buy a Life Application Study Bible. It'll tell you how to take the Word of God and how to apply it to your life. The second one does some of that, but it also digs in a little bit more shortly, but it digs in a little bit more to maybe kind of what was going on in the culture at that time. It's a little more like study the Bible. So both are incredible. If you're looking how to have your life look more like Jesus, I would say the one on the left. There's, like Alan said, there's 40 of them. You know, maybe there's probably hundreds of them by now. And they're all great, right? But if you just don't know where to start, I would say either of these would be phenomenal. The one on the right only comes in NIV. Sorry about that. So there's other versions that are great stuff, but I don't know a lot about the other study Bibles. Here's what they would look like. I know you can't really see that, but you can see on the one on the right. So chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. That's the Bible part. Then right in the middle of that Bible part, you'll have some cross references. There's other verses you could go look to show you kind of similarities. And then down at the bottom, you look at 3:1-24. It gives you a little note on that, the disobedience of Adam and Eve, and God's response that affects the whole course of human history. Then it says, go look at Romans 5:12 and the notes there. Like, it just gives you not much, but it just gives you a little chunk, because sometimes you just go, what did I just read? What am I reading? Wow. How do I? And so a study Bible will just give you some little helps. It'll just kind of help you out. And I would love, I believe in this so much, and I would love to, I'm not going to because I don't have that money, but I would love to just say, hey, if you don't have one, I'll buy you one. But you know what? I don't think that would be helpful, because I think you need to be intentional about, like, take a few Starbucks bunnies or some, you know, whatever, do one date night at home instead of out, and take your $40 and get yourself a study Bible, because it will be the best $30 or $40 or $50 that you ever spend in your life. I guarantee it. Alan and I both went through the same thing. We both were young men that needed to get in the Word of God, and we'd open up the Bible, and our eyes would glaze over and go, oh, what am I reading here? And that study Bible helped us to just look at a couple little notes just to go, oh, that's what they're talking about. Oh, okay. It just gives you somewhere to dig into. So, does that make sense? All right. If you don't have $40, I'm not going to give you $40. Now what do I do? You can go online. There's not much online, but if you go to this site right here, I put an arrow so that you could see where the address is. It is www.esv.org. ESV is a version of the Bible. It's the English Standard Version. I'll use it here, probably in one of my slides today. It's a great version. It's a little bit older, but it reads pretty easily. So you can find this online if you go to esv.org. Then you'll find on the right side, so on the left side, you have your Bible. On the right side, if you click on that thing that looks like books, so you got the home, and then you got the link, and then you got the circled thing there, looks like books. And then you go down to that one right there that says global. You actually end up, the rest of those you have to pay for. You probably can't see them where you're at, but they have a little lock on it. But that global one is the only free one. And what that is this. It's a commentary. It's a global study Bible notes. So on the left, you see Colossians 2:6. Therefore, this is the Bible part. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, the Lord, walk in him. So walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Right? That's the Word of God. That's the left side. That's the Bible. Right side, here's a note. Colossians. So we look at the left side, Colossians 2:6. Look at the right side there. Colossians 2:6-7. Okay, let's read what the note says. The note says, has the bolded words. That's kind of a repeat of the word of God. You receive Christ Jesus the Lord. Here's the note. Paul reminds the Colossians of the foundational teachings of Epaphras. Wait a minute. Epaphras was the guy that founded that church. Oh, when they became Christians. At the heart of this is the confession that Jesus is Lord. If you want to look more of that, look at 1 Corinthians 12:3. So there you got an online free kind of study Bible in the ESV version. Fantastic. What if you want a little bit more? Well, I'm glad you asked, because there's another one. I'll give you one more online, and it's here, enduringwordaltogether.com, enduringword.com. And what you're going to find is some free commentaries by a guy by the name of David Guzik. And I love it. This is one of my favorite commentaries. It's really short. And so you go to enduringword.com. You click on commentary, okay? And then there's the screen that you'll get. So Genesis all the way through Revelation. I clicked on that Colossians. So I clicked on Colossians, and then I clicked on chapter 2, and here's what you get. So here's what we just read in that other one. It gives you in bold there. Look about halfway down. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built in him. That's that verse in Colossians that we just read. Well, then you get some notes underneath it. We're not going to read all those, but it just it's like a study Bible, but there isn't really, the scripture's just in little chunks. It's not a left and right kind of thing. Are you confused? Don't be confused. So ESV.org. And enduringword.com, and you can have some free study helps. Because you know what we want you to do? We want you to be in the Word of God, and we don't want your eyes just to glaze over and just to put the time in. We want you to know what you're reading. So, all right, everyone, hang on. Here we go. We're going to do this really fast. Take a breath. I'm going to give you some really practical things. Has anyone ever heard of the SOAP method? The SOAP method of reading your Bible. The SOAP method. So it's just a way, as you go, you open up your Bible and you start reading, right? And it gives you these little touch points. So as you're reading a chunk of scripture, here's what you do. The S stands for scripture. So read and write out the scripture. Copying the scripture helps to get it in your heart and mind. So here, Bible and a notebook is your best friends, right? Get a notebook. So we're going to read, and maybe you won't copy the whole chunk of it. If you're reading the Bible through in a year, I mean, that's like pages and pages. You're not going to copy all that down. But if you're reading a little chunk of scripture, write it out. The O stands for observation. We'll hear a little bit more about this in just a minute, but what do you see in the verses that you're reading? Who's speaking? Who's the audience? Are there repeating words? What phrases stand out to you? So, all right. So you can write at the top of your page in your notebook, write scripture, observation. A stands for application, right? Application. How do I live this out? All right. I heard that Christ is my hope and my strength. I just read that. All right. So how do I live that out? I could write down in your journal, what areas of my life do I feel like I'm lacking in hope? And how can Jesus be that hope right now? Because his word says he is, right? So you write that down. What changes do I need to make? Is there an action that I need to take? And finally, P stands for prayer. Turn what you've learned into a prayer. Talk to God about the passage and ask him to help you live it. All right, you just learned about God being our hope. You wrote it down. You're asking yourself the question. Now you pray it back to the Lord. Okay, God, I just read in your word, which is truth, that you're my hope. God, I don't know how for you to be my hope in this area. It feels so hopeless. How do I do that? God, I need your help. Jesus, help. Right? You take the word of God, and that becomes kind of the spark to get some observation, some application, and then pray that back to the Lord. Okay? Here's what, so tonight is campfires. So the youth are going to come here tonight, and some adults. And there's a part that we're going to do worship, and then in the middle of that, they have what's called God and me time. So everyone grabs their blanket, they grab their Bible. Teenagers do this tonight. They grab their Bibles, they grab their blankets, they go sit in a corner somewhere, and for about 15 minutes, they just read the Word of God. They read. Everyone's reading the same passage, and then they just write stuff down about it. And there's some questions up on the screen. Some of them I'm going to put up here. And they're answering some of these questions. And it's giving them help. So say you don't have a study Bible, but you have the Bible, right? So do this. So as you're reading your Bible, first of all, pray that Holy Spirit will speak to you. As you crack open the Word of God in the morning, say, God, I need your help. Help me to understand what I'm reading. Show me what I'm supposed to see. Just a simple prayer like that. Then read your passage. If it's short, reread it again. And here's a great thing. Highlight any, is there any word? So if you don't want to highlight in your Bible, write it down in your journal. What words stick out or phrases stick out to you? Is there, I don't think I have it on here, but like we saw in the last slide, is there anything that's repeating? Stephen always talks about that. It says it up here, it says it down here, and it says it down there. Why does it say that same phrase three different times? Let's write that down. Let's find out why it's saying that. Is there anything that you don't understand or you're curious about? Write it down in your journal. Why did Jesus have to go to Jericho on Thursday? Like, I don't understand. Like, why was that a big thing? Or I'm curious. I'm curious, like, I don't know, maybe you're reading about the fish and loaves. How did they get, you're writing in your little journal, how did they get the boy to give them their fish? Did they steal it? That's not very nice, right? Like, it's just normal human questions. Like, obviously that's not what happened, but like, was the boy just everyone was there to see Jesus, and so they probably said Jesus wanted it. Like, but that's a dialogue now that you're having with the Lord and with your journal and with your own self. Who's doing the writing? Is Jesus writing? Like, who's doing the speaking? Who's doing the writing? And who's the intended audience? Who is this meant for? What's the main idea of this passage? So as you're reading through that, all right, you got hung up on this little phrase, and that's really great, but what's the idea of the whole passage that you're reading? And then kind of the last thing, what is the Holy Spirit speaking specifically to you? Write that down in your journal. I have an online journal that I do. I can't read my own handwriting. So every time I read, I've got a notebook online, and it gets dumped in there. Like, anything that stands out to me, anything that I feel like the Lord's speaking to me about, it just goes in that notebook online. I would just challenge you to get a notebook, read your Bible with a pen in hand. Read your Bible with a pen in hand. Write down questions. And I promise you, you do that for a month, you go back and look, you'll start to see threads of where God has led you. And it's the same question came up five different times. I wonder if the Lord's trying to stir your heart towards something. All right, how about this? We want to write down questions that you have about this passage. How about this? Is there something in here that I've never seen before? Barney does her Bible reading at night, so usually we're laying in bed. I'm drifting off to sleep. All of a sudden, I get the nudge. Yes, dear? I have never seen this before. Did you know this was in here? And it's going to be something that, whatever. And so she's always saying, I never saw this. Write that down. I never saw this before. What revelation is God showing you about the scripture? Just as you're reading it, you're going, oh, light bulb's coming on. That makes sense. Ask yourself this question. Is this passage, skipped one. How do I need to respond to what I'm reading? Great question. And the last one, is this passage speaking to anything that's going on in society or anything that's going on in my life right now? Like, is this passage that I'm reading right now speaking to anything specifically that's going on right now? We're just about done. One more of these. I think this is the last one of these. Yeah. Application. Ask yourself, is God teaching me something? Is God telling me to stop doing something that I'm doing? Right? Is God telling me to start doing something that I'm not doing? Is God correcting some wrong thinking or behavior? Or is God preparing me to live more effectively for him? I'm telling you guys, this is just super practical. You guys are rolling your eyes at me going, okay, we know this. All right. But maybe someone watching the video doesn't know this, right? We want you to have, we are ruthlessly eliminating excuses for you to not receive from the Word of God as you get into it at least four times a week. Two more verses, we're done. You got two more verses in you? I only got about a third of you. I'm doing them anyways. Joshua 1, 7 and 8 says this, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you might be what? Successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you might be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be, oh, prosperous and successful. There is a vision for your life that God has for you to do well. How many want to do well? You want to do well, whatever that means, in your soul, in your relationships, in your work, in your bank account, in your kids and your grandkids. We want to do well. That some of that hinges on you having the Word of God in your heart. Last verse, we will be done. And this is the last picture that God's painting for us. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Blessed. Everyone say blessed. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But here's a picture of someone who's blessed. This next line is a picture of someone that is blessed. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, or the Bible, and who meditates on his law, or the Bible, day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. And all the time we hear people say, it's promised in God's word that I'm going to be planted like a tree by a stream of water and I'm going to flourish. And I want to go, yeah, well, that's a conditional promise. I don't want to pop your balloon, but that's for those who are delighting in the word of God and who are meditating on the word of God. That's what that promise says. If your heart can get excited about God's word and you can spend time meditating on it, the end result of that is your life is going to prosper. You're going to thrive because God's word is life. It's spirit and it's life. Amen? Amen. It is spirit and it is life, and it's what you need today. All right. Formed. We're done. Let's pray. God, I just thank you that you're forming us into your image. You're using the word of God. You're living an active word to do that. And we just pray, God, that as we've gone through this part of the series, that people would be encouraged and ignited to delight in your word and to meditate on it. I thank you, God, that you're planting our feet and you are planning our lives, God, and you're causing us to thrive as we live in your word and breathe in the life of the Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, for teaching us. Pray for a blessed week. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen.